Dear friends in Christ, as we think about Judas Iscariot, he seemed to be a faithful follower of Jesus. He was right in there with the 12 and even more, and he was doing what they were doing. He was hearing the teachings. He was witnessing the miracles. He was probably doing some teaching himself. God may have even worked some miracles even through him. So he seemed to be right in with them. However, in the end, what happened to Judas Iscariot? We could say that his old nature teamed up with Satan in order to betray our Savior. What a sad situation. This sermon today is a topical sermon about Judas Iscariot. And there are ways here that we can learn from Judas and we can benefit by knowing more about him so that we don't go in the same direction. That's one great way to benefit. Let me get right into it here. So the name Judas in the Bible, it appears 34 times. So 26 of the 34 references, those are talking about Judas Iscariot. Now, is that like a first name and a last name? Judas is his first name. Iscariot, that is identifying the place where he is from. So he is from a town called Kiriath, which is about 16 miles south of Jerusalem. So the Iscariot is identifying that place where his family is from. And then thinking about the 12, there were actually two of them who were named Judas. So we know Judas Iscariot, and then we also have there Judas, son of James. Jesus' brothers, both Matthew and Mark, they identified that Jesus had four brothers. So his brothers' names were James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas. So Jesus had a brother named Judas. When we think about his brother James, well, James is kind of famous because we have the book in the Bible named James. So the Holy Spirit moved that brother of Jesus to write the book of James. And then the Holy Spirit moved Judas to write the book of Jude. So we don't have a Bible book named Judas, but I suppose he used his nickname here, Jude. Other people in the Bible named Judas, there are a couple other ones. Remember I said there were a total of 34 references to the name. So over in Acts chapter 5, we have Judas of Galilee, and in Acts chapter 9, we have a Judas of Damascus. So that's the way they would identify again who is who by identifying the location. Think about Jesus. Oftentimes we think of Jesus of Nazareth. So that's the same thing here with the name of Judas. I want to talk about real briefly here about the origin and the meaning. So if we think in the Old Testament in Hebrew, we have the word Judah. And then if we move that over into the Greek in the New Testament, Judah becomes Judas. So that's where it comes from. Actually, that name has a beautiful meaning. That name means praised. However, though, because of the whole connection now with Judas Iscariot, not too many people go with the name Judas anymore today. Well, Judas Iscariot, he was an apostle, which is amazing, but he was also the betrayer, which is so sad. So looking in the Bible, you'll see that all four gospel accounts, they're all describing Judas Iscariot as the one who betrayed Jesus. So, well, being the betrayer, it means he is the one who handed Jesus over. And then to look at it a little more carefully, what did Judas do when he betrayed him? It was an unjustified act of handing someone over to judicial authorities. So if Jesus had done something wrong, Judas was doing a good thing by turning him in, but that was not the case at all. So it was an unjustified thing that he did. And then thinking about Judas' arrangement to betray Jesus, what I want you to see in this section here is Judas had the idea, and then step by step, he worked it out. So some of the steps here would be that, first of all, we find out from the Gospel of John that Judas, even by very early on Palm Sunday, he was already planning to betray Jesus. We find out from Matthew, Mark, and Luke that Judas went to the chief priests and the officers to work out the arrangement to betray Jesus. So we see that as another step. So he had it in his mind, and now he goes to the Jewish leaders to work out the plan. And then Luke tells us that late on Tuesday of Holy Week, that is when Satan entered into Judas. So now it's getting more serious. But can you see the progression, though? So he had the thought, he goes to the leaders, and now Satan is on board with the whole thing. So step by step, what can we learn from this? Do we ever get a thought like, oh, I'm going to do something that's against the Word of God? Sure, what should we do? We should repent right then and not go any further. But oftentimes, though, probably for all of us in certain ways, we take the next step, and then we take the next step, and we're going further in a bad direction. What God wants us to know is Judas, he could have repented. He didn't have to keep going in that direction. And for you and me, we can repent. So when God is making things known to us and we are going in opposition to the Bible, what should we do? By the grace of God, let us repent. Thinking about Judas here in the upper room, Jesus made this statement regarding his betrayer. Think about this. Jesus said, it would have been good for that man if he had not been born. Ooh, it would have been good for that man if he had not been born. So I put it like this. I said, non-existence would have been better than a Christless death and eternal punishment. That's really what Jesus was saying there. When we think about the betrayer's identity, remember they were there in the upper room and Jesus said, one of you are going to betray me. And then they all started asking like, it's not me, Lord, is it? And they went around the table and finally Judas said, surely it is not I, Rabbi. And then Jesus gave him this answer. He said, you have said it yourself. Now, we don't talk like that today, but what does that mean? Jesus was really saying to him, yes, it is you. However, though, Jesus did it in such a way that the other ones who were gathered in that room, they didn't understand that Judas was the betrayer. And then, right after that, or shortly after that, Jesus sent Judas away. He said to him, what you do, do quickly. Now, if you look at the Bible account a little bit more closely there, it says that the others knew that Judas was like the treasurer. He had the money bag. So they actually thought that Jesus was saying to him, Judas, go do it now. In other words, go and take some of that money and make a donation to the poor. They kind of thought it was that type of a thing. They missed the fact that he was the betrayer. But I think Jesus did that on purpose, so, because this was giving Judas the opportunity to repent, and they wouldn't have known. Like, he could have repented and been back with the 12, and they wouldn't have even known about it. But unfortunately, he didn't take that opportunity. Going to the Garden of Gethsemane now as we progress through the bad situation with Judas. So Judas knew where to find Jesus. John told us here, Judas knew the place, for Jesus had often met there with his disciples. And then going further, Judas came with many others. The Bible tells us Judas came up accompanied by a large crowd with swords and clubs. And then Judas identified Jesus. We're familiar with this. Judas went to Jesus and said, Hail, Rabbi, and kissed him. Usually a kiss is a good thing. Here we think about the kiss of death. He marked him for death. How did Jesus respond? He said to him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? Getting really toward the end here, we're coming to the most important part. So Judas felt remorse. The Bible says, when Judas saw that Jesus had been condemned, he felt remorse and returned the 30 pieces of silver. When we look at the Greek word here, we can translate it in several different ways. We could translate feel remorse. We could translate become concerned afterward, or we could translate regret. Haven't we all done the same? So we said something or we did something and now we are regretting it and we're trying to figure out, how can I fix it? How can I get beyond this situation? So Judas, he thought, oh, I'll return the money and maybe that will fix it. But that would not fix it. That could not save him. See, one of the big problems is Judas was looking in the wrong place for forgiveness. He thought he could fix it himself. Well, he didn't know the A verse, did he? All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. He didn't know that he was helpless to fix it. That's so important. None of us can fix it. I can't fix it. None of us can. Think about this passage here. We have the two kinds of sorrow. So important passage here in 2 Corinthians 7. For the sorrow that is according to the will of God produces a repentance without regret leading to salvation, but the sorrow of the world produces death. So let's think about this a little bit more then. So the sorrow of the world, that kind of sorrow, it does include despair. So Judas experienced the despair, but it does not include godly sorrow and trust in Jesus. When we think about Judas, he had so thoroughly hardened his heart that when he needed the gift of forgiveness through Jesus, he could not receive it. How did his heart get hardened? You can imagine he's going further and further away, and the Holy Spirit is trying to put a roadblock in his path and say, don't keep going that way. And every time the Holy Spirit did that, he hardened his heart and he said, nope, I'm going to ignore you, Holy Spirit. I want to keep going in that way. So his heart got harder and harder and harder. It was a very sad situation. What about the sorrow that is according to the will of God? Well, it is worked by God through the Holy Spirit. We can't do it. God has to do it. That kind of sorrow reveals that we are helpless, and that kind of sorrow shows us that we are in need of God. Next week, we come to the day of Pentecost, and the people are going to shout out, brothers, what shall we do? They had come to the point by the Holy Spirit, they had come to the point that they knew they were helpless, and now they were open to some solution from God. That is so critical. Thinking about a comparison between Judas and Peter, sadly, they both rejected Jesus. However, by the grace of God, Peter repented. It made all the difference. So coming to what I'm calling here the final word, so sin is never good, whether it's what we might call a smaller sin or a bigger sin, it's never good, but the deciding factor for each person is repentance. So the ones who are repentant are going to be with God forever, and the ones who are not repentant, sadly, they're going to be apart from God forever. So think about these words here in Acts chapter 3. So Peter was talking to people who at one point were believing in the coming Messiah, but when Jesus came on the scene, they didn't think he was the one, and they basically had fallen away. So look at the good news, though, that Peter said to them, repent and return. In other words, he was saying to them, hey, you don't have to keep going on that bad path in a wrong direction. Repent and return. And notice the great blessings. Repent and return that your sins may be wiped away in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Isn't it a wonderful thing when we know we are forgiven and we can live with peace? If we die, we know we're okay. When we put our head on our pillow at night, we know that no matter what happens, it's going to be okay. I'm a child of God. I'm in the kingdom of God. God is watching over me. If I die, he's going to take me to heaven. If I wake up in the morning, God has a plan for my life that day. It just gives us this peace knowing that we are connected to the Almighty God. Our sins are forgiven in Jesus, and everything is going to be okay. Most people in the world aren't living that way, but God is inviting everyone to have these great blessings. So I hope all of you have these great blessings, that inside you're just rejoicing in what God has done for you. We want everyone to have these same great blessings. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, thank you so much for making us your holy children. We pray that you would keep us in ongoing repentance, and we also pray that you would bring many unrepentant ones into your kingdom very soon. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.